Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Jonathan Ritter with Wake Up America Church Ministries. Hope you guys are having an awesome Wednesday night. Hopefully you made it to church and had a good Bible study with your pastor and your elder brothers and sisters. This is part 4 of the Spiritual Warfare series. Of course, keep us in y'all's prayers. You know that we had another severe storm over here in Louisiana, and we're still trying to recover from that. Hurricane Delta. So keep us in your prayers. And if you guys are familiar with the hurricanes and tornadoes, it can be challenging. We lost power, and we were out power about 3-4 days. But God kept us, and God provided means. We have food, we have water. He kept us during the whole storm, and thank God for that, right? So what we're looking at is Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 18. This is kind of the signature passage, key passage. I encourage you guys to memorize this. It's such a beautiful passage. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 18. It says, "Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, and put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shone with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayers and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints." Bow with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come tonight, Lord, thanking you for the opportunity, Lord, just to get into your word. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you just guide and you direct this Bible, this preaching series, this Bible study, preaching series, how one wants to look at it, or how you direct this Bible study and this preaching, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you just be with us, that it reaches whoever's out there that needs to hear about the spiritual armor that is available, and those that who may have not accepted Christ into their life truly open their hearts to you, Lord. We pray, Lord, this reaches them one way or the other, Lord, that it encourages them to get into the scriptures, to reach in the scriptures and to find the meaning of what it means to truly be a child of God. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you be with our nation. I pray that with this election that's rolling around, Lord, that you know what's going to happen. We place it all in your hands. We pray your will be done, regardless if it's one or the other. Lord, I pray that you give us strength to endure whatever the outcome is, and that we put on the spiritual armor, and regardless, we stand for the truth, regardless what it may cost us in the end. Lord, I pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, spiritual warfare. If you guys are tracking this series, thank you and praise Jesus. Of course, on my website that the Holy Spirit encouraged me to do, I have a spiritual warfare Bible studies on there. I post every month. I encourage you guys to go look at it. That's just more kind of reinforcing the concepts that we're talking about in this series. It kind of gives you, keep on studying. studying and show yourself approved, right? And of course, spiritual warfare, which I've already quite a few talked about the definition of it, is of course two sides warring against each other, good and evil, light and darkness, and of course God and devil and angels and demons, right? So when we look at all of that, the invisible war, you don't really actually see angels and demons warring, but you will see the from the invisible war, you will be able to see a visible outcome, you know. And you could look at the Black Lives Matter groups, that they were creating so much chaos and destruction. That was not necessarily them. Of course, we know Paul tells us in Ephesians 6, verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in the world, against spiritual wickedness." High place is giving you kind of layout of how the army of darkness, the demons, and how Satan orchestrates him to pull the strings for on people like Black Lives Matters, and our heart should hurt for them, and we should pray for them. It's easy to get in the flesh and get really angry. And of course, when you look at stuff on television like Netflix, which is just kind of disappeared in the headlines, Cuties, but Cuties is still going. They're still viewing it on Netflix, and it's like nothing really changed. You know, it's sad how we can just forget things, and then Netflix can hide that stuff. And of course, if you know what Cuties is basically, it was a Netflix kind of movie series that was glorifying pedophilia among young girls at 11. It's appalling. It's nasty. I would encourage you guys. Netflix is not a good, I guess, subscription or whatever you want to look at to have. There is so much demonic activity on Netflix. Just do your research. I mean, and pray over it, and let the Lord guide and direct you. When you pray on things like that and pray for an answer, God will answer you, I promise you. So we're looking at the breastplate of righteousness, and you know, I came across this article, and the reason I'm going to say this article is because righteousness in the pulpits, a majority of the pulpits in America, is not preached. It seems like everybody wants to avoid the word righteousness and holiness. And of course, God calls us to be holy because He is holy. And of course, we have His borrowed robe of righteousness. But in this article, it was done by the Family, Marriage, Sexuality, Education, Politics, Business article. It spoke on this, and I'm going to just read a very brief part of this. And it says, there are about 364,000 churches in America, and 72%. That 72% kind of give you a thought, are 264,000 of them are liberal, meaning that they really do not care about the Bible. So that means only about 28% do care what the Bible actually says, and that number may shrink, right? So I say this, be very careful if you're seeking a pastor, a preacher, a teacher, to understand where they stand on the Word of God, simply as in, how do you view homosexuality? That's a very easy question to ask a preacher. And we clearly know that homosexuality is a sin. Of course, we know that Jesus is no respecter of persons. Sin is sin, but to justify that it's okay, and that a person that is practicing homosexuality does not need to repent for anything, is a clear sign that person is liberal. And that, yeah, and if you hear that and it makes you mad, that means you're liberal. So you will seek a preacher that is liberal, therefore you will seek a harlotin, somebody that don't preach the Word of God, and he will blind you more, and you will ultimately end up in hell. not my words, it's Jesus that speaks. That these false teachers and these false prophets and those that follow them, the ones that have tickling ears, that they will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So we need to understand, guys, how to equip ourselves. And how to, when we equip ourselves by praying through the spiritual armor and every morning making sure that we are approaching the world, when we walk out the doors of our home, that our mind is set and that we understand that when we walk out into this world, we will have challenges and we will be faced with all kind of obstacles. And because we are faced with so much, we know that we can't do it in our own strength. And of course, last week we looked at the belt of truth. Your loins girded with the belt of truth, right? That's the belt. Basically, I like to always say a belt of truth. It wraps around you. It's secure. And of course, we know that belt of truth, the only truth, the only way is Jesus. He is the ultimate truth. He's the absolute truth. We are not gods. If anybody tells you that we are and that we can determine our own destination, there, that's a whole modern Christianity movement going on, and that is false. Of course, we know Jesus is truth. He is fundamental. He's absolute, uncompromised truth. He is the beginning and the end. He is the great I am, and he stands, regardless of what this world tries to tell you the new truth is. As we looked at the belt of truth and how it applied, how Paul was applying that to the God tickled my throat. How Paul was applying that to his times as looking at a Roman soldier, right? As a soldier that would go to battle or just his attire, he would make sure he had his belt on. His belt kind of held everything else in place, which was very important. When you go to war, you definitely want to have your belt on. And of course, the belt, the fundamental belt, is Jesus. So when we look at the breastplate of righteousness, so we just look at the Roman's breastplate, we can find that it was hammered bronze plate. If you watch kind of Roman Empire movies or Hollywood movies on the Roman Empire or documentaries on the Roman Empire, you kind of will see this breastplate. It was bronze. Some would argue or make the suggestion that this material is actually stronger than steel and iron, but nevertheless we know that bronze was very strong. It was a strong metal, and it covered the neck all the way down to the thighs. Of course, the belt of truth wraps around it, and as a soldier would be crazy without to have his belt on, he will also be crazy not to have his breastplate on. That was very important. As we look and we look at that comparison to us as children of God, as soldiers in the army of God, and we take that and we call it the breastplate of righteousness. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 18 says this. It says, "This I charge, I commend unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which was before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare." So very important, good warfare. And to be able to wage a good warfare is to have your belt of truth on and your breastplate of righteousness. Of course, we're going to look at the whole armor. But there's so much information here, so instead of doing 3, 4, or 6 hours straight through, I'm breaking it up so we can better get an understanding how important each individual piece of the armor is important to our spiritual, attire. So when we say breastplate of righteousness, we're looking at the word righteousness, right? If we look at Isaiah 64, verse 6, it says this, but we are all as unclean things, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as leaf, and our iniquity like the wind have taken us away. Filthy rags. That is our righteousness. And I always encourage people within church to look up those words, because, you know, sometimes we got kids and I don't want to get too vulgar to a degree, but filthy rags, and I can be a little bit more, bold to a degree on this, but filthy rags is used tampons. That's our righteousness to a holy God. When we walk around thinking we have the righteousness and that we are self-righteous and that everybody else is below us, no, they're filthy rags, they're used tampons. Isaiah 6 verse 5 says this, then said I, woe is me, for I am done, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Guys, Lord of hosts is a warrior term. He is a God of war. He is fighting for his people. But you see, our righteousness is nothing. See, we have a borrowed robe of righteousness. Isaiah 61 verse 10 says this, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with his garments of salvation. He have covered me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decked herself with ornaments, and a bride adorned herself with jewels. With her jewels. His righteousness, nothing that we have done, nothing that we deserve, but his righteousness. Paul fell to his feet when he realized how dirty and filthy he was. I am a sinful man. Even that word sin today, people want to mask it and say, oh, I mess up. Oh, I do this. Oh, that's okay. God understands. No repentance in their hearts. No, down to their knees and saying, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. I am a sinful man. Today, America, Christian, your typical American Christian wants to glorify their sin and amplify it like they deserve the sin and still say, okay, I'm a child of God and I'm still going to heaven, while the devil has them confused and they're blind and they're going to a devil hell. And when you try to warn them and tell them to turn away from their ways, they look at you with hate and anger. It breaks my heart. You warn them as the days of Noah. He preached righteousness for 120 plus years. He told them to repent. He told them, but they all looked at him like he was crazy. Like he didn't know what he's talking about. But man, when the ark was finished and they got into that big boat, and the Lord closed that door and the rain fell and the judgment fell on those people that he preached righteousness all those years. It got real for them. Oh, let us in. See, God's patience is wearing thin, especially with America. Oh, how we think we got it. Oh, how the modern day Christianity, when you look at Madonna claiming she's a Christian and then she does satanic music, and Christians are enjoying that and worshiping it and placing it up and saying that's what it means to be a Christian, women come in and they glorify their killing of their children, and other Christians are glorifying for what they did, the murder. America's in bad shape, guys. And the judgment of God is coming. C sin is sin. Quit trying to wash it down and make it feel good. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21 said, For he had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made righteous of God in him. Psalms 132 verse 9 said, Let that priest be clothed with righteousness. Let thy saint shout for joy. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 24 says, Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on a tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whom his stripes we were healed. Philippians chapter 3 verse 9 says, And be found in him, having my own righteousness which is of law, but which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And of course Titus 3 verse 5 says, By the works of righteousness which we, not by the works of righteousness we have done, but according to his mercy, he saves us by the washing and the regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, right? It's not our righteousness, guys. It's all God. God sent his son down here to live among us, to endure a horrible death, to be scorned and mocked and beaten to death and then nailed on a cross. And oh, how we make mockery of it when we glorify our sins like we are doing something. Sin breaks God's heart. It should break ours. Where is repentance of our sin? Breaks my heart. When we look at this breastplate of righteousness, we can also look at it as a heart protector. You see, your heart is very important to Jesus. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5 through 6 says this, And trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. The word is telling us to trust the Lord with all of our heart, and he will guide our path. God knows our heart. And the sad truth that you probably won't hear at many churches is Matthew 7, 13 through 14. It said, Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few, listen guys, it says few, there will be find it. There's two paths. There's a wide one. And that's that wide path that, oh, I can do whatever I want. I can keep on sinning. I don't need to repent. Oh, I can cuss. Oh, I can do this. Oh, I can do that. Look at the grace that God has given me to do all this. Well, a repentant heart, I'm glorifying my sin. I'm saying what happened to my Savior on that cross means nothing, because I'm glorifying my sin. I'm using it as a license. That wide path leads to destruction. That is hell. But that narrow way, Jesus tells us a few will find that. A few will find that. That should worry us. It should. You see, this world will, if you're truly a child of God, you will experience a level of suffering. Some will suffer more than others. But we will know it's worth it all, because we have counted the cost and we have given it all to Jesus. This life and everything we do. Matthew 22, verse 37 says this, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Jesus is telling us, He wants your whole heart. Give your whole heart to Him. No matter what happens in this life, say, Here is my heart, O Lord. Here's my heart. I give it to you. Guess what? The enemy wants your heart too. He wants your heart to be distracted. He wants you to be busy with life. He wants you to be able to believe that you can get away with everything and don't have to repent for nothing. Do you run to Jesus? Do you lay your heart down at the cross and say, Forgive me of my sin? Or do you run around like the world? You act like that world, right? I don't know if you guys watch sports, you know. I don't watch football anymore because of the craziness. Or you just look at hockey and baseball. And when you look at those sports, I can tell when somebody's really into the game. Their passion, their fire for them, their heart. You could say their hearts is into the game. And they got to, you know, they got to give something up to win. They have to give a part of them up to win, to go against the other team. You know, they feel the pain after the game. You know, the swell knees and the back. You know, the blood and the sweat. To stand and to keep on pushing forward, regardless how the enemy or the other side pushes to, so they're pushed to win that game. Same as this life, we got to expect the suffering and the blood and the sweat, but it's all worth it, right? It's all worth it. God wants your heart fully invested. And when you have the breastplate of righteousness on, that is protecting your heart. And it's because of the not of any acts that you have done, is what Jesus has already done for you, that you have that breastplate of righteousness that will protect your heart. Fully protect it against whatever the enemy will throw at you. See, Satan is not more powerful than Jesus. But he is more powerful than you as flesh. It's only through the Holy Spirit that lives in the true children of God that we have that breastplate, that borrowed robe of righteousness that we have put on. And when we have that borrowed robe of righteousness, we understand sin. We understand that we will meet challenges on this world. But we know where to go. When we sin, it breaks our heart. It tears our heart up. You know, I have so many favorite verses, but Ezekiel 36:26 says this, A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And of course, Psalm 51:10, this is a David Psalm, create in me a clean heart, O Lord, O God, and renew a right spirit within. See, when we encounter things as a Christian, as a new Christian, somebody has been regenerated, that truly have the Holy Spirit living inside them as a soldier. When we sin, it breaks our heart because it breaks God's heart, and we go to the altar and we repent of our sins, and then we get back up only through the strength of Jesus Christ, and we go back out and we wage a good warfare. A new heart. A regenerated heart. We desire to walk more in the spirit and less in the flesh. too many carnal Christians that are enjoying their sin. And I'll use the word carnal Christian in a sense, it's kind of a mockery to a degree to call a carnal Christian. I don't view them as a Christian. They're carnal. They claim to be Christian. They're part of that professing Christianity that one day the Lord will say, depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you. You walk around calling yourself a Christian, but your heart is so far from me. As we close the night, I just want you guys to get that. And hopefully, you know, if you get anything out of this sermon, that you understand a little bit more about the breastplate of righteousness, that you will go to the Word of God and you will look at up the scriptures and you will have a fire and a passion burning in your heart to reach somebody with the gospel and realize, you know, we're in a spiritual war. And that's the whole point of this too, is to realize that as the days get closer and Satan knows his time is limited, which he already knows that, the intensification of spiritual battles will intensify. A lot of people are saying, I don't know if you heard that phrase, 2020, don't be a 2020. The thing is, you know, I feel in my heart that 2020 don't have nothing compared to 2021. As the times increase, the hate and the anger, and Satan knows his time is limited, there will be an intensification of wickedness, and you see that now. How far will America, or is even America, going to be able to recover? In the sense that we will actually start putting God back into every place that we have took him out over the 150 plus years. Of course, we be in prayer for that. And of course, recognizing there's a spiritual war and recognizing there's spiritual battles within our day, every day, and that we have, as a child of God, we have the armor of God to put on every day, not just one day a week. And then every day we should look at these scriptures and we should meditate over these scriptures, and we should realize that we need to equip ourselves with the full armor of God. We need to understand that our belt is very important because it's Jesus and he is the truth. And within that truth, we have that breastplate of righteousness because he is the truth. And we open our hearts to him. He gives us a new heart. He gives us a robe of righteousness. The Holy Spirit lives inside us. It corrects us when we sin. It gets us back on that straight and narrow. And we keep on pushing forward. Love you guys. I pray that this gives a little more insight into the spiritual armor. Of course, be in prayer for my ministry and of course, as I'm helping a church out to where they can find a pastor, be in prayer for me is a constant struggle. The enemy attacks on every end that he can, but understand that God has this and he is in control of everything. So make sure you have that breastplate of righteousness on. If you guys have any questions, just you can contact me through Facebook. You can contact me through my website. Make sure you check out the Bible studies and the Bible study, the spiritual warfare Bible studies. That is just to deeper study into the Word of God. We should be a people that we're always studying the Word of God every day. That we, a day that goes by while I was cracking the Bible open and reading it and praying over it and seeking a way or seeking a guidance on where God needs us to be every day and the challenges that we will face when we we'll find out when we put the armor of God on, when we're praying and we're reading our Bible, and those big challenges hits us. I know, because I speak from personal experience. We find a peace there, guys. So I love y'all. Y'all have a good night. Let's bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come tonight, just thanking you for the opportunity, Lord, just to speak on spiritual warfare and the belt, the breastplate of righteousness, Lord. I pray, Lord, that this message just reaches whoever it needs to reach, that it opens the eyes, whoever needs to hear it, Lord, that they just realize, and if they're not, they don't even understand what it means to be a Christian, or they've heard messages from liberal churches saying it's okay to keep on sinning, it's okay to keep on doing this, and you don't have to repent, you don't have to preach on sin, there's no hell because God, a loving God, won't sin. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you bring them out of that cult, you bring them out of that church, Lord, that's giving them a license to sin, that is smearing the grace of God. I pray, Lord, they just go into the Bible and they pray for your guidance. Because within your word, God, you have all the answers. Within prayer and your presence, you will guide and you will direct us to your truths. Not what any man says. You have the ultimate authority. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you just keep us the rest of this week, Lord, wherever, who's ever going through things in this life, God. I just pray that you be with them, you give them comfort, Lord, and that they just realize that they're not alone and that there's a God that loves them so much. But you do call us to be holy. You call us to let our light shine. You call us to do battle against the spiritual wickedness and all the forces of the enemy that is so working in America, that's ripping, it's been ripping the foundation of our Christianity, Lord. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ, amen. Love you guys. Y'all have a good week.